stills her child. Thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will. When thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore, and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab your Bible. Let's go to 1 Peter in chapter 4. I sketched out the outline. I want to preach out of these verses. And while sitting in my car, and then I put them in my car Bible, and I left them there. So I don't have my outline here today. And you know what that means. That means I preach for a half hour longer than normal because I don't know where I'm going again. But I like it anyway, praise the Lord. And so let's go ahead and continue our saga through the book of 1 and 2 Peter, looking at this apostle's writing and instruction. And not only so, but looking at how it harmonizes with all other scripture. And again, gives us again hope, gives us reason to keep on going, even though we're in a society that's in rebellion to God. I don't usually do this, but I did it last week as I listened to my message. And I got about six things I'd want to correct. I'll only correct one of them. It was not ducky. Does that make sense? Remember the guy, the NCIS guy that was worshiping God, his evolutionist savior and creator on PBS TV? It was not the old man, it's the new young man. And then after watching it, I said, I'm not sure if I even recognized him. But anyway, it might have been the other NCIS show. I'm one of them anyway. So we're in trouble in this world again, as every way we turn. We find all the news media, all the networks. I was just marveling again sometime last night. I woke up in the middle of the night just fussing to the God over the state of our nation. And I told him that it's crazy that we live in a world where the media can censor the President of the United States of America. I still can't get over that again. And then all of the fraud and deceit that went involved in that election. And yet, America's been dismissed. All the news media dismisses that and blocks out, censors anyone that calls it fraud and deceit and a rigged election. And they're still saying in Guardian we trust, you know, for their voting privileges. And so we're in a mess in this country. And people are just now, I think, not the mass populace, but at least some of the media are starting to recognize the mess that we've opened up and the direction that this country's going. I fear it's getting too little, too late, because the vast majority of mankind is still out there with their faces all covered and scared to death of a pandemic that had been falsified. And so, boy, we're in a mess in the country again, but praise the Lord, we're still on the winning side. Praise the Lord, again, nothing surprised God. God's not up in heaven wringing his hands about what's going to happen next. Praise the Lord, things are in His control. Sometimes we don't understand the direction. I don't understand the momentum nor the speed that we are going in as a nation in rebellion against God. And worshiping Mother Earth. What, we have Earth Day? Some kind of Earth Day? I've seen all polluting my the airwaves this week as Earth Day is coming up, where they worship the Mother Earth. And global warming's come up several times. And so, to understand that our society is in rebellion against Jehovah God, the Creator, and you and I worship Him and acknowledge that He has given us eternal life. And consequently, look at the first verses of this exhortation from Peter. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Remember, they were under Nero at the time, suffering severe persecution. And he calls them strangers. He calls them in chapter 2, strangers and pilgrims. And so we're looking at our plight in this world and how we're to, again, conduct ourselves in a society that's gone completely godless, has gone completely socialist, is in the first throes of Marxist overthrow. And so as we're in that plight, what's a Christian to do? And we've looked again at the first three chapters here. We're in the midst of chapter 4. And let me just go ahead and read the first verse, and we'll pick up our text starting there in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. You follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's holy word. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." I like that. Spent a little time on that last week. Let's jump down now to verse 7 and understand. I've heard this probably commented more from Christians in this past year, in this year, 2021, than ever before. Verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now, I want you to remember again who this is. This is Peter. He's writing to a very persecuted church in Asia, again, that's suffering under Nero, who's having families put to death, who's having, churches burned, as it were, and destroyed, killing any Christians. And here's his exhortation to them that says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Verse 8, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as to ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father, praise you and thank you for the exhortation of this book. Thank you that we could have a copy. Thank you again that we could read it regular. Thank you again that we could look at this portion of Scripture. I pray that you'd use it now to increase our knowledge, but also, Father, to encourage our hearts in the week that's before us. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pick up right there in that seventh verse again. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. One of the preachers this week in the conference I was at went on and on about watching in prayer. And he used for that, with his military background, which caught my attention, I like that, was the penalties right in the U.S. Code of Military Justice for someone who fell asleep on the watch. Again, in the military, being on a watch is kind of an important thing, again. And so if you fall asleep on a watch, the punishment is death. That's pretty serious, again. Or imprisonment, or depending on all the circumstances, again, of the case. It is very harsh punishment for a soldier to fall asleep on the watch. And then he went back into 1 and 2 Timothy and encouraged us to understand that we're soldiers. And so I kind of just give that exhortation that we are to watch. We are to be careful. Some of you are watching the news. I'm not sure that's what this is talking about. But watch the hand of God. And if you are one that can't shut that news off, I found this, and it was suggested there, and even in this message on keeping a watch, is that every time you hear the name Nancy Pelosi, you bow your head and go to prayer and ask for God to bring us victory in the mess that we're in. Every time you hear Joe Biden, and Lord help us, every time you hear Governor Cuomo, every time you hear one of these leaders mention, that you would again just bow and ask God again to take control of the mess that we're in and give us some victories here. And so, as we keep our watch, notice that that's what it's about. It's not looking at all that's going on so much as it is looking to God. Our watch is to watch for God. Our watch is to understand that He is in control. Our watch is to understand that He's waiting to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. You've been commanded to pray about things, and certainly we ought to be praying about things that concern the course of our country, the course of our freedom. It says in another text, as best as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And we want to do with that. But again, as we do, understand that there's not going to be peace in this world for Christians when there is a rebellion in this world and a lifting up the God of evolution in our society, almost carte blanche in our society, and despise of Jehovah God as our Creator. Listen, it's not going to settle well, and that's what Peter's dealing with in this text. And notice his charge to watch. Notice his charge to pray. Notice his charge to be sober and watch unto prayer. And so I just rehearsed those things again out of another man's message. But again, let's go ahead and look now at verse 8. I like this. It says, above all things. I said in the beginning when we started this series that a good piece of literature starts with an introduction, then it has a body, and then it has a conclusion. And now there's nothing in the body that was not covered in the introduction or in the conclusion, will be covered in the conclusion. The military briefing style that I mentioned, I believe, was that you, when you're briefing congressmen, and a third grade level, again, is where we had to present our briefings for, this is for R&D stuff, research and development stuff. But again, to stand up, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. And so I like that because, boy, it's so fitting for writing as well, but here it's fitting for understanding God's Word. Peter here does not bring up anything new that has not already been covered in his introduction. And here we are in chapter 4. He's not covering anything that's not going to be met in his conclusion as well. And then in the second epistle of Peter, he does the whole thing all over again to rehearse for us things that we need to be aware of in a time when the world is persecuting the church. And so again, as we look at this one, notice again we have in verse 8, and above all things. That's kind of like Jesus when he said, verily, verily. It's kind of like, stand up, pay attention, don't miss this. And so look what his above all things here has to do with. And above all things, have fervent charity. Is that what your Bible says? It doesn't say love, right? It says charity. And again, all of us, again, immediately should, our mind should go to 1 Corinthians 13 that says charity suffereth long. And so again, as we look at that whole context of what charity is, I'd like to also bring in another concept here that it would be what Christ had. Remember when the multitude, 5,000 people, had followed him out in the wilderness, and they continued for 3 days, and these people did not bring provisions to stay for 3 days. And Jesus looked on them, and he had, anybody tell me what he had on them?
Compassion.
He had compassion on them. And there we have the feeding of the 5,000. He fed them. And so there's another story about a fella who fell among thieves and was left wounded and lying alongside the road. Do we remember that account? Yeah, it's the Good Samaritan at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I try to preach that annually around here. And I heard a preacher say this week that the priest came and he went by and saw that the guy had already been robbed, so he didn't see any sense in him stopping. I'll press on. But the Samaritan came and saw him and had compassion on him and took care of him. Now, listen, when we think of the term compassion, I want to go ahead and emphasize some things about it here. Notice what the text says again. Above all things, have fervent, I like that, fervent, not a little bit, but a fervent charity. And then notice what it says, among yourselves. I'm taking this to be among believers. It's mentioned a couple times there. He's writing to those that are suffering persecution as a group and saying, hey, take care of yourselves in this manner. And so he's writing to his own here on how that we are to take care of our own. And here's the charge, that we would have charity among ourselves. And again, boy, after 2020, that's probably pertinent to look at. A lot of people, I'm sure you didn't, but a lot of people, some of us that live in the flesh too much, get upset when people just quit coming to church and think. And they'll tell us why. Now, I want to be careful here. I don't want to point out anyone specifically again. And I want to say that this does not apply for Good Samaritan Baptist Church as much as I've seen it in a lot of others. But trying to talk people into coming back to church, I've decided to put that on hold. I'll just let people come back. As they miss church, let them come back to church. But again, I don't want to do any arm twisting in this day and age of masks and fright and the fear factor that's been applied by all dimensions of our government to scare people to death into submission of different sorts. Sometimes it's very frustrating, and probably you felt it too, to look over and see someone that's not coming to church for any number of reasons, and to start thinking of, there's no excuse. Listen, I want you to understand that when we say there's no excuse, I want a flag to go up in your head and say that that is the opposite of compassion. Compassion is a compressed passion. I like that. It's a compressed passion. It's the idea, again, that we have a passion for somebody who's in a mess, and even when it's a mess of their own doing, even if it's their own stupid fault, even if it's their own rebellious attitude that got them there, you are to have compassion on them. Why? Didn't Jesus have compassion on you when you were in your own stupid mess? Yeah. It's kind of like that prayer that he gave in Matthew chapter 5. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. And immediately, I mean, when he said the amen to that prayer, his very next phrase was, you need to forgive others. And if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. That's a pretty serious charge. And that's talking about forgiveness. I want to bring in here the same lesson, the same example, I guess, of compassion that you and I are saved because of God's compassion. And God showed compassion on you and I. You didn't deserve what you got. You deserved, again, a penalty in hell. But listen, praise the Lord, we don't get what we deserve. And we're in a mess of our own making, and He had compassion on us and forgave us and gave us a new life in Christ and started us over. And so listen, when you look around and you see someone, some Christian in some other church, let's say, and they are laying out of church, and you say, "There's no, they're just making excuses." I want you to understand that when you say they're getting just what they deserve, when you can say that, understand this, that's still the opposite of compassion. That you should be glad you're not getting what you deserve. And when we look at others, I'm talking other Christians here that are going through hard times, that are going through a problem, and we say, that's just what they deserve. Understand that that's not compassion. Jesus had compassion on them. They should have brought their own lunch. Yeah, you're right. They should have made provisions to stay there for 3 days. But they didn't, and Jesus had compassion on them. And so you and I need to learn that sense of the term to understand for each other here when we look at other Christians and we think, well, boy, they're getting just what they deserve. Listen, always remember that's the opposite of what Christ would do. That's the opposite of compassion. And when we say, boy, Lord, give it to them, again, it's the same thing. That's not compassion. And so look with me just at a couple verses here. I got about 8 of them written down on my margin. Let me just pick out 2 favorite ones. 1 John chapter 3. Just over a couple pages from 1 Peter. Hold your place in 1 Peter. 1 John chapter 3. And look with me just at these 2 verses. Verses 16 and verses 17. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and verses 17. Hereby, it says, 1 John 3:16. I like the 3:16s in my Bible again, and there's a whole bunch of them that we highlight even because of that number arrangement. But here's one, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. And remember, the of God there again is in italics. You remember what I said about italics? They're more important than anything else because all the modernists, ecumenical liberals, want to rip them out of your Bible and throw them away. When again, 57 expert linguists made sure that that was in there, and they studied this thing for 7 years under the king's paycheck. And so again, to understand that those are important words and you need to emphasize them even more. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Notice again that Peter has repeated that phrase over and over again, that Christ suffered for us, therefore we ought to. He laid down his life for us, therefore we ought to learn some things from him about his behavior in that circumstance. And now we have John doing the same recital here, that he loved us or laid down his life for us, and he ought to lay down, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again here, this is watching out for one another. This is watching out for folks that sit next to you in the pews. Folks that, again, you know to be Christian and are struggling through these times. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a good question, isn't it? And notice again here, the exhortation is that, hey, if you have and won't give, we looked at the fact that this is charity, and that's a big difference between love and charity. Love is more this way. Charity is more that way. What we can do for others. We're called a charitable organization because we exist to do for others. And lots of people think that that means a church should pay your electric bill for you. And we have people who still call Good Samaritan Baptist Church and say, could you pay my electric bill for me? And again, that's not what we have as our charity. Again, it's not our financial ability to take care of people. You want that? Go to the Catholic Church. They're charitable and they give away more money. At least they used to, again. But anyway, we're a charitable organization because we exist for giving out to others. That's our purpose. And the giving out to others that we do as a Baptist church is that we give the gospel, that we minister to people on a spiritual level. And so notice here again that that's this charity that shows up in verse 8 back in 1 Peter chapter 4. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And then it says, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Now pause right there and go back to last week's message and notice what it, again that it says, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to do the lusts of men, but to the will of God. It says in verse 1, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Over here in verse 8, it says, if you have charity, shall cover the multitudes of sin. And listen, if you get your heart right as far as a long-suffering and a charity and a compassion on your brethren, that'll cover a multitude of sin. I've seen it go the other way. I've seen Christians that get in fights among themselves, and this person's not doing all they should be doing, and this person's doing more than the other. And we get on our little high horse and start putting other people down about what they're not doing and what they should be doing and what they could be doing. And instead, here we're commanded to have charity, to have compassion on others. And be praying and desiring that they not get what they deserve. Because you don't want what you deserve. And so again, our compassion here is called out. That we would do that. Because he loved us, he forgave us, we're to forgive others. Because he loved us and showed compassion on us, we are to show his compassion on others. Now watch this as it goes on. We're going to cover a multitude of sins. A multitude of pride, of haughtiness, of thinking, well, I'm better than they are, and they're not coming to church, and therefore, I'm better than they are. Listen, you want to cover a multitude of sins. It comes with a compassion. It comes with, again, seeking their well-being. And as we see here, giving, having a giving heart of charity towards other Christians right now. Then it says, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Okay? That means, again, if you have a Ranger bass boat, you should probably loan it to your pastor. Okay, that's how I define hospitality. That again, what's yours is mine. much mine is yours. Again, sometimes we stop halfway through that or get the latter before the former. But that's what hospitality is. Again, that hey, when we have the missionaries come, I say, hey, everything in this building is yours for the next 3 days till we get here on Sunday. So whatever you want, whatever food you can find, the thermostat belongs to you. Do whatever you need. And again, that's being hospitable. Again, so make people feel at home. And I praise the Lord for this church doing that for missionaries. Probably almost as much we heard from again from our missionaries here with a thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, a missionary's out on the road and very often just living in other houses or in motels. Boy, they love coming here and having this whole building to themselves. They don't have to answer to my schedule or anyone else's schedule. They're just here to free, to relax and be themselves. And what a blessing it is when this church is hospitable to, again, a missionary that comes in. What's ours is yours while you're here. And so notice again that that ought to be the attitude here for Christians who above all things have fervent charity. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Okay? Listen, you came to our house for dinner for the past 3 months, and I think it's about time you invited me to your house again. That might be a fictitious analogy, but again, the idea is it's without grudging. Without expect. Remember, Jesus talked again about being at the banquet and sitting in the lowest seat, about inviting people to the banquet and not expecting to do it. So that you can get a return on your investment. And so notice again here, it has that emphasis that we're not grudging. We're not saying we're doing this for other motives, other purposes. And so hospitality without grudging. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Now I don't want to jump off here and go on some charismatic causeway about gifts. This is not talking about gifts. This is not a section of Scripture about gifts. This is a section of Scripture about your charity one towards another. And again, the gifts that this is talking about here is a gift of ministering, to minister one to another. And we as a church ought to minister to one another. Folks, again, that have been shut in. Some of them have been terrified. Some of them have been put through the ringer again in the medical world. We ought to minister to them. We ought, each one of us here has a responsibility to minister. And that's what he's talking about here. To those that are going through some persecutions that's much viler than what we've gone through, notice again his charges that you, if you have a gift to minister, then you minister. Now, this might be talking about a financial gift. It might be talking about your financial well-being. Same thing in the hospitality arena, not doing it only to the rich, only to do it somewhere where you can get a return on your investment. This is not how to that we build networking so that we can step up a social ladder and get things done. This is, again, about ministering one to another, using hospitality to one to another. And I appreciate Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I appreciate, again, that we don't have a bunch of grudges running around here. Praise the Lord. There's a sweet spirit and always has been here, one to another. And so again, as we look at this, again, I just want to emphasize it one more time that we need to keep that in mind, because even as we get through harder and harder times, even as we see our government railing the more against church, against God, against Christ, against your personal position with Christ, it's very likely that we're going to see persecution start up next. And it's going to be against individuals. It might be firings from jobs. It might be, again, because you're not woke enough or you're not politically correct enough that you're going to be in a position to lose out on something. And so again, as we see that happen to our own here, notice again, this is a charge of your own that we again minister, have charity, that we have a hospitality, and now that we minister one to another and do the same one to another, it says in verse 10, as good stewards. And again, it's the same idea that everything you've got, you've been given by God. God has taken care of you. God has provided for you. And we are to be good stewards of what He has given us. And this ties back with the verse 7 that we are to watch unto prayer. And understand, hey, all this is going to burn. It's all going to be gone. Peter's going to address that in more detail later. But right now, understand that, hey, we are to minister one to another. And again, not doing it on a grudging way, not doing it, but doing it with compassion. I know they don't deserve it. But that's all the more reason for us to do it. And that's why it's called a ministry. Because we minister one to another. And so notice again, as it says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whenever I see that word manifold in my Bible, I remember that I had a... this don't have nothing to do with message. I just want to tell you because I'm a show-off. But I had a 283 bored out to a 301 in a Chevy Biscayne. I couldn't afford the Impala, so I had a Biscayne, my very first car. And again, it had a little valve on the manifold. And you could pull a little cable inside the car, and it would open a little valve that would just open the manifold. And boy, you could hear that all over Glendenning Creek Valley. I mean, it would just roar that whole valley. And so I'd pull that out and go up the hill there with the thing right floored, and you couldn't hear nothing in the car again. It was wide open manifold. And whenever I see this in the Bible now, I think of that and think, you need to pull the cable on your manifold and let it be wide open out loud. Again, so that it is seen, it is heard. You cannot miss it, praise the Lord. I don't know if that's the right application of that or not, but I know what a manifold is. And look at it here in this verse again. It says, where did I go? Verse 10 says, a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We need to understand the grace of God that we've got. And again, understand what we got. And grace, remember, mercy is a punishment that's due that we didn't get. Not getting what we deserve. Grace is a unmerited favor is the definition we like for that. It's the idea that, hey, I did not deserve this, but God gave it to me anyway. And so again, and this is a manifold grace of God. This is so loud that you can't hear anything else in the room when you consider the grace of God in your life. How good He has been. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. I preach the message, it's amazing what praising will do to fix the little morphins in your mind and set your body chemistry on a different course. It's amazing what praising will do. And again, just to recognize that there is a manifold grace of God in your life. And that God has poured out such rich blessing. And we again ought to count our blessings and rejoice in them. And being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, don't hoard it. Don't keep it. Pour it out on others. Minister to others. Let me go ahead and tell you, even right here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, there's folks that are hurting. There's folks that, again, are in need. We've got a prayer list we covered Wednesday night of folks that are in troublous times in their lives, in their home, in their medical needs, folks that you know, folks that call in. Linda Jacks called Grandma and asked to be added to our prayer list for things that she's going through. And there's people that call upon us so that we could just dump some of the manifold grace of God into their lives through our prayer chain. And again, understand that, boy, God has taken good care of us, but there are people that are hurting right now. It talked here about being hospitable, but also being ministers. And listen, all of us here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, you know how to say minister in Greek, right? Deacon, okay? So all of us need to be deacons in that sense. All of us need to be ministers. And in the Bible, ladies, there's still a word called deaconess, okay? It's not talking about an official office, but it's talking about ladies who minister one to another. And so all of us here in this are charged, above all things, to have fervent charity among yourselves and to minister one to another. I don't know if I'll get to this last one. Let's look at verse 11. We can fit some of this in. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That doesn't mean you're making up the word of God. That means you're rehearsing the word of God. I told you again, when we go soul winning, when we go witnessing, when we go door to door, I don't like to go out and tell people what I believe. Well, what I believe, you don't have any business in any kind of argument as a Christian telling people what you believe. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. No. God said it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. And we are, and notice this verse here, again, emphasize the fact that we're ministering to each other in this context. And all of us ought to be able to go to somebody and say, thus saith the Lord. All of us ought to, again, I got a New Testament soul winner's Bible I'm getting rid of because it does not have Psalms and Proverbs in it. Well, you need Psalms and Proverbs when you're calling on people. Psalms 103, Beverly and I read that this week on the 103rd day of our year. And when we read that, I thought, man, all it does is talk about how great God is for all whatever 48 verses it was. And it just goes on. 103, write that down. It'd be good for you to go read Psalm 103 to somebody this week. It is a blessing. Again, it just talks about creation. It talks about His Almighty. It talks about talking about His works. And so again, and notice what the verse says again. If any man speak, let him read Psalms 103. That's my version of that again. Use the word of God. Speak the word of God. And a lot of people want to compare what you believe compared to what I believe. And again, don't even go down that path. Don't get in that argument. Give them the word of God. And in order to give them the word of God, it's good to have the word of God hid in my heart. It's good, again, to have the word of God memorized. It's good to give Psalm 103 parked in the back of your mind because you read it that morning. So that you can give that out to somebody. And so again, notice again the charge here. If any man speak, don't just give your opinions. Give them the word of God. Be an encouragement. Run into a preacher this week, and we're a couple of them in the tech, praise the Lord. And we're talking about how things are going. Boy, that could be discouraging, again, topic. But again, when we do that, it's good to have a Bible verse. It's good to have something from the oracles of God in all of our answers. And so, and it's the same thing. What's that? Arm yourselves, it said over here in our first verse. Arm yourself with something. It'd be good to arm yourselves with some words of God, some oracles of God that you could give to people that would be a strength and an encouragement to them. Listen, we Baptists, and I heard some of that even this week, are good at taking the Word of God and beating people about the head and shoulders with it. and telling people what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. But again, the Word of God is to be here in this context, a way of showing compassion, a way of showing hospitality, what's mine is yours, a way of ministering to people to encourage them in the Lord. I looked at the verse, we just read this, I think, in our reading, of Jonathan. Oh, I covered some of that on Wednesday night, of Jonathan. And there's a verse there that said that Jonathan, came, the king's son, came to David, who was on the lam, on the run, and he encouraged his hand in God. And again, we debated some of that. What does that mean? How do you encourage somebody's hand in God? Well, there's lots of applications to that, and you and I are to be encouragers of others. And so think of somebody right now. You, all of us in here, could think of somebody that we could be an encouragement to this week. And you could encourage their hand in God as a minister. And so this verse says again, use the Word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. We're going back to this idea that it's a gift. That ministry is a gift, and it comes from God, and we need to use it as a gift of God. And it is the ability which God giveth. Be an encourager. Be a strengthener. Be someone who edifies another saint. Yeah, they don't deserve it. I know they don't deserve it. Neither do you. But that's what we're called to do, is to minister, to be encouragers. And to help them, even when they're in their own mess and it's all their own fault. Listen, have compassion. Jesus did. God, as God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why should we do this? Why should we encourage? Why should we, above all things, have fervent charity? That God, in all things, may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, praise you and thank you for the challenge that's given in this scripture. Father, to above all things, to have fervent charity one for another. Help us with that. I thank you for this little church. I thank you for folks that are encouragers and ministers. I thank you even going through this past year that calls have been made and encouragements done. Father, in various means that we could again stay together, that we could again just lift up one another and be encouraged, yea, even be edified. I thank you again, Father, that you'd renew that spirit in each one of us, even today, that we could again be encouragers and that we could be encouraged in that. And we'll praise you and thank you for your blessing, this scripture, especially as we need to be mindful of what other Christians, our brethren, are going through, the sisters that we have in Christ, are struggling through, and help again, Father, that we could minister one to another and follow this scripture. And Father, help us in that to see that you get all the glory and your name is glorified through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand for a verse of invitation here. And let's turn to 496. All to Jesus I surrender. Praise the Lord. Let's give it all right back on him. And let's surrender to him. Look for an opportunity to minister this week, and the Lord will bless you in that. 496. Watch the words. Make this our prayer. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Him, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Pray that last verse with me. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender. Lord, bless you for being in church today. It's so good to see each one. And I'm going to ask Brother Tracy, if you'd go ahead and dismiss our service in prayer.
Holy Father, we thank you so much that you have compassion on us.
Thank you.
I pray, Lord, that you would show us in our hearts where we need to have compassion on others and give to others that you have given us so beautifully, Lord. I thank you for that. Give us a great week. And put your hand of protection around us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey.